Blog Talk Radio.
From deepest, darkest Africa, across the polar ice cap, spanning the jungles of South America, without a compass, without a map, Blog Talk Radio and Wildlife Educational Services presents Larry Batson's Wild World. Discover the wonders of the natural world with nationally known wildlife educator Larry Batson as we visit his wild world.
Hello, everyone, from the remote jungles, and we do mean remote jungles of Clinton Falls, Indiana. This is Larry Batson. You're listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio here every Thursday night from 10 to 11 p.m., hopefully bringing not only some fantastic entertainment, but we can learn something in the next hour as well. So thanks for tuning in, our listeners around the world, such as New Zealand, England, Ireland. Of course, all the folks that download the program and listen to it afterwards, we all appreciate that. Also, remember, you can go to Blog Talk Radio and you can become a friend of Larry Batson's Wild World, and we encourage you to do that. This week on the show, he's back. We had such a fantastic response the last time he was kind enough to join our program. And a little bit later, all the way from Padre Island, Texas, Captain Billy Sandifer. He's nominated for Field of Streams magazine's Heroes of Conservation Award, and he's won an award here recently. In fact, we were scheduled to have him on the show a few weeks back, but heck, he had to go get an award. So we're glad that he did, and it's great to have him back, and he'll be along in just a little bit. As always, handling the technical part of our program and monitoring the chat room and your calls, Henry May down in Mississippi. Good evening, Henry.
Hello, Larry.
Thanks for being on board and helping us out here tonight. And as always, bringing his intellect and knowledge and whatever else he wants to drag into this deal, Dr. Henry Day is here tonight with our Wild World News. Good evening, Doc.
Good evening, Mr. Batson.
Now, I know you had a chance to chat with Captain for a few moments before we went on, and I told you, didn't I?
Yeah.
This is going to be a great hour, and he'll be along just a little bit.
I think he's as mad as I am.
We're all mad, and I'm going to warn you folks right now, we're going to unload on BP tonight. We are, this is the internet, we are pissed, so it's going to happen, and it's tonight's the night to listen, and we're gonna lay all the cards down the table, and this is not going to be pretty if you're an employee for BP. So even if you sell Red Bulls over the counter, those folks aren't to blame. But you know there's going to be a BP boycott. It's already begun, so people are upset, and this audience as well. So let's listen to that Wild World News, Doc, and then we'll start ranting and raving.
Okay. Well, I'll try to make it quick tonight so we can get Captain Billy on. All right. Well, there's been a lot of more cougar sightings here in Indiana, Rush County. People are reporting a lot of animal tracks in their yards. It's going on. They think there's a lot more than they really know about. But anyway, that's the local news. We're going to run off to Sarasota.
Well, wait a minute before you go any further. Before you go on, we go to Sarasota. We received a call from a neighbor the other day, and I was gone. I was off doing the book signing for the our new book, Alphabet Swamp. And Cheryl received a phone call from one of her neighbors, and they were quite upset because they had found tracks in their yard, and they were certain, they were absolutely certain that it was a mountain lion. So they came over and got Cheryl and took her over to the garden, and she looked at the tracks, and she said they looked about the size of a good-sized golden retriever. And I think the lady was actually upset that it wasn't a cougar. I think she was, in fact, she didn't. And Cheryl told me, she says, I don't think that lady believes me. So, whatever, but yeah.
Well, she had told all of her neighbors that there was a mountain lion in her yard.
Well, yeah. You know what I think? I think it makes the outdoors a heck of a lot more interesting, to tell you the truth. Go ahead, Doc. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, let's get on with this. Sarasota, Florida, in partnership with the federal agencies, Moat Marine Laboratory scientists are trying to figure out how to grow vast numbers of snook that can survive to breed in the wild. Heat and artificial light create an early spawning season for the snook, and it's one of the state's most prized sport fish. Now, if you don't know about the snook, it's a pretty tasty fish, so.
Well, I imagine Captain Billy will have some insight on that, so in fact, I know he will.
All right, let's run off to Green Bank, Washington. As many as a dozen transient killer whales have been reported in Puget Sound this week, hunting for seals and sea lions. Four or five of the orcas cruising Sinclair and Dyes Inlet at Bremerton have headed towards Port Orchard. So, they were smart and they headed north when they smelled the oil.
Oh, really?
Wilmington, Delaware. State wildlife biologists said an abundance of horseshoe crab eggs on the beaches of Delaware Bay this year could be a sign that a decade of fisheries management is paying off. The state shorebird monitoring team is finding beaches green with horseshoe crab eggs.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Yeah. All right, Des Moines, Iowa. Blank Park Zoo officials said they've added 8 goats, 4 prairie dogs, a penguin, and thousands of jellyfish. They join a recent baby boom that includes wallaby joeys and a baby camel.
Well, it's that time of year. Do you know this camel story I used to tell, I still tell folks. You know how big a baby camel is when it's born?
Yes, I've seen that in real life.
Yeah, it's about 100 pounds or so. They're big. They're huge. And we were used to be based up in northern Indiana, and part of our facilities was a camel farm. And when the babies were born, well, they didn't time the breeding cycle right, because the babies would be born in the winter, like in January. They should have bred the females so they would be born in the summer months, like a desert. So here these females would be dropping these babies in January, and it'd be like 10, 20 below zero. So what we would have to do is one person would have the large pole, and the other person, the idea was that you grabbed the baby, you ran as fast as you could toward the barn, while the other guy tried to keep the female from killing you. Needless to say, it never caught me, but I never realized I could run so fast carrying a 100-pound squirmy camel. But, yeah, that's true. Okay, sorry.
That was right there at the wildlife preserve. That was the largest herd of camels in the United States at the time, wasn't it?
Yes, and they were all brought from Australia. Australia has a huge herd of camels. They used to use them in the gold rush. And then when that fizzled out, they just left the camels. Now there's, I don't know how many thousands of wild camels there are in Australia. And, you know, they find those crazy Australians to catch them. Basically, they just jump on them and wrangle them down just like the rodeo. And they do it from helicopters. Some of them will do it with motorcycle. They're right up next to them on a motorcycle, then just bail off the motorcycle and grab the camel and hang on. And I'll tell you what. A camel, when it's not happy, it's not a good thing.
Okay. I remember there was a guy that used to break the camels there at the farm. He was an African.
You're right. Nimmit Moore.
Nimmit, that's it. Nimmit,
yep.
Yeah.
And you know what's sad is he came to this country. He was adopted, more or less, I don't want to screw this up, but what's the nomadic tribe in Central Africa? I can't think of the name. Maasai.
Maasai.
I'm thinking it wasn't a Maasai. But they were nomadic people. They lived with the animals. And, you know, he came to the States, and he had his camel herd. He went on to college. He went to Indiana University. And darn it, if he didn't go back to visit his country and somebody killed him.
You're kidding.
No, shot him, killed him. Yep. That was sickening. And I still have the only video of this young man ever being tossed off an animal. I have a video, and I've got to find that. Because he was a master when it came to breaking those camels and working with all that kind of life. Unbelievable, yeah. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. Okay, let's run off to Prescott, Arizona. A Chino Valley man credits his neighbors with quick action that likely saved his life during a bee swarm. The neighbors grabbed a hose and sprayed Eric Worthen as the bees were stinging him. One neighbor said she pulled 26 stingers out of Worthen's skin. Worthen said he was walking from his truck to his home when the bees attacked. He said it was a nightmarish experience as the bees stung his face.
His face?
Yeah, I can say that would be a nightmarish experience.
Oh, my Lord. Well, I can still remember the time my wife was, what was she doing? She was working down in the driveway. I think she was weed whacking, and she hit one of those yellow jacket underground hives. And she's running up the driveway, and my wife is so modest, she's actually taking off clothes as she's running up the driveway because these yellow jackets are attacking her. And at first I could, and I'll tell you right now, that's the fastest I ever saw her move. But they're brutal, I'll tell you. People get killed with those.
Listen to this. Help me out with this one. Jackson, Mississippi. Sportsmen in the state will have 15 days beginning Tuesday to apply for 260 alligator hunting permits available for the 2010 hunting season. Only state residents age 16 and older can apply for the alligator permits and must do so before June 15th, you know, at locations where hunting and fishing licenses are sold.
Right.
So the alligator population must be...
Oh, it's okay, exploded. Jackson. Oh, it's exploded. I know in Florida, and I'm sure Henry May, you know, he lives in Mississippi. He could probably tell you about the gators.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, see, that's Henry May. And you can quote him on that. Uh-huh.
Yep.
Yep. Okay.
Thanks, Henry. Newport, Kentucky. The Newport Aquarium has upgraded its bizarre sea creatures exhibit to include more than a dozen new species. Some include Japanese spider crabs, electric flame scallops, and spotted garden eels. And they say that the aquarium now is more family-friendly.
Well, I'm sure those would make it more family. I don't understand that comment, but it's a fabulous place.
Jellyfish.
Yeah, it's down by Cincinnati. I know the place because I was there a few years ago. We were doing promotional work for Wild Kingdom, the old television show, and we were doing some programs. They had a big banquet or something. We got a private tour. It's nice. Everyone that's in that vicinity, Shay, should go to the Newport Aquarium. The kids will all ages love it. I mean, what the heck?
Yeah, I've seen pictures of it. It is a beautiful place.
Yeah.
We still got they're closing caves all across the United States due to the white nose syndrome in the bats.
Uh-huh.
It's still going on. It's been going on for months. And even keeping the people out of the caves doesn't seem to be doing any good. So they're asking people to put up bat boxes, do what they can to help the bat population.
Well, did they say where this originated from?
No, they don't have any idea, but they believe that the humans have carried it into the caves, mm-hmm. and the bats are spreading it.
Just keep the people out, and the natural course of nature will do its job.
That's what they're doing. That's what they've decided to do.
Yeah.
Also, we'll finish it up here. We need to get on with this. It's quarter after we're going back to another bat story to finish up the night.
Okay.
Venice looks to mosquito-eating bats. Venice, the romantic city of canals, is hoping to attract bats to battle a tiger mosquito infestation. Officials launched a campaign this last Tuesday urging Venetians to buy or build bat boxes and install them in trees or on the side of the external walls of homes. It's believed that each bat could eat 3,000 mosquitoes a night and could combat the insects, especially on the Lido, where accumulations of rainwater and gardens and the greenery serve as breeding grounds. Yeah. Although Venice is crisscrossed by canals, mosquitoes usually aren't attracted to the lagoon's blackish waters. Tiger mosquito bites can cause itchy, swollen whelps, and insects carry all kinds of diseases also.
That's right. So that's the Wild World News for tonight, Henry.
That's it for tonight. I kept it short. I have there's always, every week, there are so many animal stories, and
that's
I
right.
try to keep some of the good ones and put out the bad ones, but we're going to talk about that tonight.
That's right, absolutely. We also want to remind everybody, this is Larry Batson's Wild World, and because of the underwriters, it makes it possible for us to be on Blog Talk Radio. I have a brand new underwriter tonight, everybody, Santee Cooper Country in beautiful South Carolina, Lake Marion and Lake Moultrie, known as the Santee Cooper Lakes. Now, these lakes, they cover 170,000 acres, 450 miles of shoreline, and this place, and I've been there, and I know what this is all about, but it's known for world-class fishing. These two lakes hold 7 state records and 1 world record, and here's what you need to do. Let me give you their website, www.santeecoopercountry.org, or call the girls. Say, hey, I want to come down there and go fishing. They'll set you up with the guides, the place to stay. It's absolutely fabulous. And that number is an 800-227-8510. That's Santee Cooper Country. They've come on board tonight. They'll be with us for the next few weeks, and we really appreciate it. Also, I want to remind everybody, We Want You Cottages up in western New York. They have the iKids fishing site where kids can download pictures of fish that they have caught and compare them with youngsters all across the country. And also, if you're deciding on a vacation and you want to go up in western New York, this is the place to stay. Peter Weimer and his wife do a fantastic job. Go musky fishing, walleye, smallmouth bass. And that phone number is 716-789-3383. Their website is www.wewanchu.com. And also check out the iKids fishing site. And a big thank you to McGregor Mountain Lodge in beautiful Estes Park, Colorado. And if you're going out west, the place to stay on the borderline of Rocky Mountain National Park, and it's absolutely spectacular. Every time, well, it's been a long time, but the wife and I, that's where we go, and it's fantastic. One of the most beautiful spots in the country. Their 800 number is 835-8439. Or go to their website, info@McGregorMountainLodge.com. And plan that trip to Rocky Mountain National Park. Also, a big thank you to Bass Pro Shops. They've come on board. And the Tracker Marine Boating Center down in Clarksville, Indiana. And, folks, this place is like a museum. You go in there, I mean, they have the aquarium. They have all the mounted animals. Lots for the kids to see, as I've always said. While Dad goes, checks out the latest fishing tackle and the secret to catch that next big one. It's down in Clarksville, Indiana, very close to Louisville. And their phone number is 812-218-5369, and the Bass Pro Shops and the Tracker Marine Boating Center. We've got a great guest. In fact, Captain Billy Sandifer was on with us a few weeks back, and we got such great response. It was such a fantastic show that I was calling him the next day and say how well it went, and I want to hit him up to be on again, and he's agreed to do so, because I tell you, the man has a very busy schedule. Besides going out on fishing charters, he's a birder, he's a conservationist. He won a big award here recently, he's going to tell us all about, and also he was nominated by Field & Stream magazine for the Heroes of Conservation Award. He's based down in Padre Island, Texas. He says it's been hot and muggy. He says they blew him away last night with the high winds. Big welcome to Captain Billy Sandifer. Hi, Captain.
Well, hello, Larry. Thanks for having me on.
Well, I hope you didn't fall asleep with all the... And I know a lot of those stories Dr. Day said you had some insight on.
I don't know. I one time was told I'm an absolute storehouse of trivial knowledge.
Well, that's a good thing.
So I guess I know a lot about nothing or nothing about a lot or something. That award I got, the CCA banquet was the night you and I were supposed to, I was supposed to be on. And
now, what does that stand for, CCA? What does that stand for?
The largest conservation group in the world is Coastal Conservation Association.
Oh, fantastic.
And they always prod big coerce me to go to their banquets, and they know I'm about as social as a diamondback, and I have no interest whatsoever in all of that. I don't drink, so somebody blowing Jack Daniels up my face all night just doesn't really cut it for me. And but they were just not going to have it any other way, so finally I gave up and went, and it turned out they wanted to give me a Conservation Lifetime Achievement Award, and it's the first one ever given by the Coastal Conservation Association. So it's a one-of-a-kind award. It's never been given before.
Well,
so that's kind of cool.
That's very cool. I couldn't have picked a absolutely. They couldn't have picked a better person to give that award to.
And then they blowed that Jack Daniels all over my face, and I laughed. You know, took my little award, and I laughed. Let
Hello?
Me tell you something.
Okay.
You there? You there, Larry?
Yeah, I'm here. I left for a second. I don't know what happened, but I'm here.
Well, you got to talking about Roswell, and you keep trying to beam up ever since. I want to tell you something. My people have a oil field background, and they had blowout preventers to an articulate science 30 years ago. Okay?
We've lost Larry again, unfortunately.
Well, the deal is, Doc, there's no such thing as a blowout preventer not working if they're doing their job right. It's just
it doesn't make any sense to me at all.
I don't know. It's not possible.
With this.
I mean, 30 years ago, they had this state-of-the-art stuff. And it's heartbreaking to me because they just said they put 1 million gallons of that dispersal in the Gulf of Mexico. And then they turn around and tell you it could very possibly be more deadly than the oil is.
Unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. You know, it's only been the last 20 years that they realized that the giant bluefin tuna spawn in the Gulf of Mexico. The giant bluefin tuna that are so famous off of Nova Scotia breed right where that oil is right now.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. And the way that it was unknown for so many years, it was so far offshore, that sport fishermen didn't normally get out that far to find out. And then oceanographers gained that knowledge in the last 20 years. And what, you know, I'm saying my prayers for all these, all the Creator's children, the four-legged ones and the ones that crawl on their bellies and the two-legged ones, too, that are losing their lives and their livelihoods over this stuff. But it's not just going to be Mississippi and Alabama and Florida. Texas ain't going to get a clear ride on this. The one thing that keeps fascinating me when I listen to CNN is they keep showing you that loop current and how it goes around and goes up the East Coast. I haven't heard anybody mention the fact that it has a western brother that runs down the Texas coast.
Oh, really?
So now we got our summer southeast winds. So when we have our summer southeast winds, that current's going to go to the east. But this winter, when we start getting those hard north winds, it's going to push it straight south. So I don't think nobody's getting a free ride on this. And the thing that gets me the most of all about it is there is no one on this planet who has a clue, including BP, how much oil is in the Gulf right now. I believe that with all my heart.
Well, I think they misled everyone from when this thing happened from the very beginning.
Oh, yeah, sure they have. What, that one deal they shut down for 12 hours and didn't tell anybody they shut it down when they tried to pump that mud in it? And then they just casually mentioned it. You know, I've believed all my life that the greed of mankind will destroy planet Earth. And my sister's a CPA, but dadgummit, it all comes down on the bean counters.
Yep.
And you know, I listened to an interview today from the lady whose husband was killed on that rig, who was a tool pusher on that rig.
Mm-hmm.
And they claim he was a hero because he died in the process of doing everything humanly possible to bring that rig under control. And when he came in on his last time in, he made all his final arrangements to look out for their well-being. I mean, that was on CNN today.
Really?
He made his final arrangements and made sure that everything was just so-so with his wife, and then told her that when he called her from the rig, he said, "There's some real bad stuff going on out here, but I can't talk about it. And I'll tell you about it when I get home." Well, he ain't getting home. He ain't getting home. And then I thought it was hilarious. A buddy of mine called me today and said, "You want to make $1,200 a day?" And I said, "How?" And he said, "Load that panga boat of yours up. It's 25 feet long. They're paying $1,200 a day for 25-foot boats to go up there and run booms and take supplies and try to protect the wetlands." Well, I'm all for that, except that these wives of these people that are working for BP are claiming their husbands are sick.
I heard that.
From breathing all that stuff. And the guys won't say nothing because they had to sign some kind of a paper to do it. And it fascinates the heck out of me. It's like BP's got more power than the federal government or the Coast Guard or any agency at all. It's like they're making the rules. Who the hell are they to make the rules?
We should have stepped in immediately and taken over, because it's our coastline. It's not, you know, BP's coastline. It's not, it doesn't affect them.
Yeah.
Well, someone had said to me that any other country wouldn't have let these guys operate the way they've been operating.
These guys have been getting their butts fined off every time they turn around. There's been three or four occasions right here lately where they've drawn fines for safety violations. And it all comes down to... that rig costs so much money a day, and we do everything we can to finish in a minimum days possible, because then we have the most profit margin possible. And whatever it takes to do it, that's what we do. But they're destroying something that can't be replaced. They're destroying something that will never come back in my or your lifetimes.
Nope.
Right.
And there is literally no way of legitimately knowing how much of the Gulf this will encompass before it's over. We've got sharks coming out of our ears down here, all the way from Galveston to Corpus, and real unusual numbers.
Really?
And I think they're running from that oil. And I tell everybody, I say, "Hey, man, go fishing. And you just fish your backside off, because we're going to have some real good fishing, because everything's going to be running from that oil. And then one day it's going to be here, and we're not going to have any fishing." So I'm a fishing guide. I've got to try to hit every single day. I mean, I just don't even stop to eat, you know. I'm just trying to get everything I can get. But I don't think, I think they need to investigate those health problems that those workers are having up there. Because if you ever been around a Cajun, them some awful tough people. And
yep.
They don't whine a whole lot. And
yep.
If a Cajun says he's sick, there's something wrong with him. Because he can eat 2 Nutra and 30 pounds of crawdads and drink 4 cases of draft of beer. And then show up at 4:30 the next morning to go to work. So when he says there's something wrong with him, there's something wrong with him. And they need to be listening to that and not to these political bigots.
I hope I never have to eat a Nutra.
What'd you say? You hope you never have to eat a Nutra?
Yeah.
You know, down here they call an armadillo a possum on the half shell.
Have you enjoyed some armadillo in the past, Billy?
I've eaten monkey, dog. I like dog better than monkey. Monkey's got a real strong taste to it. And rattlesnakes got too many bones in them.
Yeah.
And there ain't much I ain't ate that at one time or another, at some place or another. Raw liver or but Nutria? No, I have not eaten a Nutria. And actually, I'm not even going to consider it, even after our discussion.
You know, I think that's the quote of the night.
It might be. You know, what you've got to do is, you've got to figure, you sit out there and you, I study currents. I'm a hunter-gatherer. I've been studying currents a long, long time, and the Gulf of Mexico is almost geographically a bay. It's not like the ocean where it's just miles and miles and miles. It's surrounded by land. And like in the Atlantic, you have one high tide and one low tide a day. Well, we have 2 weeks of two high tides and two low tides a day, and then 2 weeks of one high tide and one high tide a day. So we have some real circulation deals going on in the Gulf. And it would just, I don't know anybody that it wouldn't just scare the socks off of. And those coastal wetlands, it's real easy. What are you going to do, go out there and get oil off every piece of grass on a coastal wetland? I don't
know. Oh, right.
And you're going to contaminate the ground so that no new stuff will come up.
Yeah.
Huh?
Well, as my wife has said, buy Dawn liquid detergent, because those folks are donating, because all those seabirds are going to have to be cleaned, and mammals that live in that water, that's what they used up in Alaska for the Valdez spill. So.
Well,
anyway.
When I lived on the beach, that's what I used to take a bath in a Gulf with.
Yeah.
Dawn
so.
Dishwashing liquid. Dawn and Ivory's the only two that'll suds up in salt water. And so I've seen a couple of little spots of oil, but, you know, that doesn't mean it comes from that.
Right.
And I did see one oil bird one day. But that doesn't mean that he came from that. But I think that by this winter, by fall and winter, when the northers come, we'll see this stuff. And you know what worries me? You know, the real tragedy of this to me is something that probably there's only a handful of people in the world are even considering. Because wind farms are a real issue to the environment. I don't care how much good publicity they get. They're a real issue to bird and bat populations. And now, after this thing, they're going to get a free ride.
Yep.
They're going to get a free ride. You can forget trying to have any control over wind farms. They're going to get a free ride. All alternative energy is going to get a free ride after this.
Yep.
So that's just one more aspect of it. You know, it's affecting every part of our lives.
It's tragic and sad, and man, absolutely.
I don't like it.
We're going to take a break. We're with Captain Billy Sandifer. Very good program tonight. We're talking about the big spill in Louisiana, and also we're going to talk a little bit about the fauna of Padre Island. This is Larry Batson, and you're listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio.
Stay tuned. We'll be back with more of Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Pat Green. The blood supply is at critically low levels, and you can help. Call the American Red Cross at 1-800-GIVE-LIFE. That's 1-800-GIVE-LIFE. to schedule your appointment to donate blood. Your donation is critical because every 2 seconds someone in America needs blood. That's accident victims, surgical candidates, and cancer patients, just to name a few. Please donate blood and encourage your friends, family, and neighbors to give too. Please call the American Red Cross at 1-800-GIVE-LIFE or visit givelife.org to make your appointment. Thank you.
Take me fishing and show me how to drive the boat.
Take me fishing so I can tell you what a great dad you've been.
Take someone you love out on the water and see where the water takes you.
Take me fishing because I miss my boy.
Rediscover the joy of boating and fishing. Get information and get going at takemefishing.org.
Here's a hot topic about our wildlands and living with the natural role of fire.
Yard work is not just a matter of pride when you live in the wildland-urban interface. It's also about survival. Here are some FireWise tips that can help protect your home from wildland fire. Prune your trees 6 to 10 feet above the ground. Remove dead leaves and branches and dispose of them before fire season. Water your lawn regularly and store firewood away from the house. Be prepared for a fire emergency by having a plan for your family and pets. Learn more at our website and then sit back and enjoy. You worked for it.
This hot topic was made possible by the Teresa and H. John Hines III Foundation. Learn more about the natural role of fire, how to protect your community, and get the latest fire information. Visit the National Interagency Fire Center website at NIFC.gov. That's NIFC.gov.
Hi, this is Paul McCartney on behalf of RAD. If you're drinking, you can't drive my car or any car. Remember, if you're partying this holiday season, don't drink and drive. Got it? It's just not worth it. Doesn't make sense. Thank you.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
We're Rascal Flatts. There's a place where ordinary people do extraordinary things every day. That place is called the American Red Cross. When you help the American Red Cross, you help America. Call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcross.org to learn more.
Duty, freedom, country, family. They're the values that make America strong and what our armed forces are fighting to defend.
While many talk about these ideals without action, they are just empty words.
If you think America's military families deserve more, log on to thanksusa.org. It's a great way to thank our troops and give military families the gift of education.
thanksusa.org. Scholarships for America's military families. You can make a difference.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
In the forest, near the side of the road.
No need for alarm, sir. The forest is where bears live.
But this was no ordinary bear.
No ordinary bear?
Yeah, 1 second I'm having a smoke taken in the view. Next thing I know, I am face to face with Smokey Bear.
Let me guess, Smokey had a tip for you.
He did. He must have seen me toss my cigarette on the ground. He told me never to do that because it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
He's a smart bear. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
That's what Smokey said. I had no idea.
That's why Smokey's famous, and you're not.
Good point.
Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Welcome back to Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio. Once again, here's your host, Larry Batson.
But this is Larry Batson's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio, and it's all made possible by our underwriters, such as We Want You Cottages way up in western New York, and our iKids Fishing website, where youngsters can download their big fish they've caught and compare them to youngsters all across the country. And that website is wewantyou.com, and their phone number is 716
989-3383. And also McGregor Mountain Lodge out in beautiful Estes Park, Colorado, right on the foothills, right, well, it's next door to Rocky Mountain National Park, one of the grandest places in all North America. So if you're thinking about heading out west to Colorado, here's their website, info@McGregorMountainLodge.com, and their 800 number at 835-8439. And that's McGregor Mountain Lodge. A big thank you to them. And Bass Pro Shops down in Clarksville, Indiana, and also the home of the Tracker Marine Boating Center. And that is, as I've told everyone, it's like a museum for the children, a great place to see all these mounted animals and his fantastic aquarium. Well, Dad goes, checks out the latest fish bait. So that's pretty much what that's all about. But it's a fantastic place. Clarksville, Indiana, very close to Louisville. That's the Bass Pro Shops. And a big hello to our brand new underwriter, Santee Cooper Country, in beautiful South Carolina, Lake Marion and Lake Moultrie, known as Santee Cooper Lakes. They cover 171,000 acres and 450 miles of shoreline. And I'm going to tell you right now, folks, you go down there for some really world-class fishing. If you can't go to Billy's, get in those big blue cats on those boats. It's exciting. It's an adventure. And their 800 number is 1-800-227-8510. And, Billy, we need to tell everybody how to get a hold of you in case they want to go fishing with the top guy down in Padre Island.
Well, they could call me at 361-937-8446, or they could type Billy Sandifer into their computer and come up with my website and about 1,800 other hits.
That's right.
You know, I was just tickled to death to hear about the horseshoe crab eggs Doc was talking about.
Oh, absolutely. Where was that?
Oh, man. See, we've been working with Dr. Larry Niles of ConserveWildlifeNewJersey.org, who's running the Red Knot program. And through my observations, they have learned that there are red knots coming through Texas that they didn't know about. And so we've been working with him the last year off and on. And, of course, those red knots are a little shorebird that's in a severe decline and depends totally on those eggs from that horseshoe crab.
Wow.
So that is just awesome news, and I really like Larry, and I got to tell him anytime I'm around someone from New Jersey, I tend to have fun, and I had to advise him that on Padre Island, PhD stood for post hole digger. And so I think he took that one back with him. I don't think that one went over his head. I think he got it. But apparently, I've been noting for about 15 years in my log entries a population of red knots coming through this area, and none of them are tagged. And
oh.
So they've got one out of every six birds on the East Coast tagged. So guess what? I see 1,500 some days, and none of them are tagged. And this means this is a separate population of birds that they didn't even know existed. And so now they're down here tagging these birds, and we're really hoping that maybe that bird's in better shape than it was thought it was. But at any rate, the good health of that nesting up there in Delmarva means everything in the world, huh? That's as good as it gets.
Well, that's fantastic. Well, good job, Dr. Day. Good job.
Tell me how everything affects everything else.
You know, the Native Americans said that it's the spider web. It's all interconnected. Everything's woven into everything else, you know. The man kills the deer. The man eats the deer. The man dies. They put him in the ground. He fertilizes the soil. It grows the grass. The deer eats the grass. The Indian kills the deer. And there, what goes around, that's the original what goes around comes around.
Absolutely.
The circle of life. But
well,
we sure need to keep our fingers out of it. And you know, Can you imagine how deep that oil well really is?
What did they say? 5,000?
5,000 feet.
Yeah.
5,000 feet.
Well, you know. I have a question for you, Captain. If you were going to plug that thing up, how would you do it?
I'd get that big old shark they had in Jaws.
Yep.
to just come straight down there and just eat that riser. And then, while he was beginning to billow with oil, I'd pour cement all over him before he exploded from the amount of oil he had on him. And then there'd just be this big mound out there, a concrete and shark. What do you think?
I think that plan would work probably just about as well as the ones they've already tried before.
I think just about as well thought out. As,
I think you've spent more time thinking that out.
than some of this. I don't know. I don't think we got no business out there.
No.
I mean, I just don't think we got any business out there. Because the actual potential danger that this thing is doing, it hasn't sunk in. We think it has, but it hasn't. Because there's no telling what the result of this thing will be. And let us get a good hurricane. You know they're hollering this is a high probability hurricane here?
Yeah.
And we had Hurricane Ike hit and left about 30 million pounds of trash on Padre Island, and Hurricane Ike was in Galveston.
Mm-hmm.
And so where do you think that oil is going?
It's going inland.
It's going to get really inland and in lots of different places. And it might be a good time to buy some shore, long-term investment shorefront property. To me, I'm too hard-headed and old to go anywhere. But I guess I come from a different culture and a totally different mindset. But I got to look at the guy in the mirror every morning, don't you guys?
Absolutely. Yep.
I got to look at the guy in the mirror every morning, you know?
Yep.
And I'd hate to have to look at him and go, "You suck." You know?
I know.
I mean, that's a hell of a way to start your day, ain't it? Just, blah, you suck, you know? And you did this and made some brownie points with the boss and finished a little bit early. And I remember working construction and we had complete jobs ahead of schedule. So they'd lay us off the day before Christmas, you know? That was what we got for doing a real good job.
They'd lay you off the day before Christmas.
Lay us off the day before Christmas. You guys finished 3 weeks early. You're fired. Everybody's out of here.
My Lord.
But the whole deal is that it's just hurting so many different ways. And those people in Louisiana, you know what? You can have all these blue tubes and this and that and the other, and I'm beginning to despise the word digital because it's taken over life, and everything I ever had that worked, I can't replace it because now it's all digital.
Mm-hmm.
And the main thing about digital is it lasts about 2 weeks and craters, and then you have to go replace it. Those folks in Louisiana have been living that way for generations and generations and generations, and they don't know any other way to live.
Nope.
I bet you could actually go to towns and it'd scare you the lack of computers. You know?
Oh, absolutely.
I know a millionaire rancher that it is. I know a multi-millionaire rancher that I think the most powerful thing he can tell you is that he's never owned a computer.
You know, that's saying something.
Yeah, it is. You know, he just never owned a computer. And if we don't, if we're overpopulating,
yep.
We're over-demanding, we're the most needy species to ever inhabit the earth, and we are breeding like vermin.
Mm-hmm.
And every kid thinks he's supposed to graduate from high school and move into a $750,000 house.
Yep.
And that's supposed to be the reality of it. But I've never known life to be like that. Have y'all?
No.
You know, I was sitting across the table from my papa, and he looked up at me. We were eating supper, and he said, "Billy, aren't you fixing to turn 18? And I said, "Yes, sir, next Tuesday." And he said, "What's your plans?"
Kids aren't told that nowadays.
I mean, that was it. You know, that was it. The whole debate, the whole philosophical discussion, complete with advice and support and everything else. Have you made any plans? And so I caught a bus to Montana and worked cows for a year and then went to Vietnam. So I still haven't made any plans. And next Tuesday or next Thursday, I'll be 63. So I guess I'm just not much of a plan maker.
Happy birthday, but, Captain.
Yeah, well, it's amazing, ain't it? I could have got you some long odds on that day ever happening. But I don't know. You know, it's just every single, you know, you're looking at where the majority of American seafood comes from.
Yes.
That particular area. You're looking at lives of the tourist industry. You're looking at the environment, the environmental aspect of that. And honestly, I don't know how to stop it, but they do. They know how to stop it. I don't believe that bunch of Brits knows how to stop it. But I bet you that if you got a bunch of military men in there, they'd stop it.
Oh, I guarantee that.
They'd stop it.
I don't understand why we're dragging our feet on this.
Well,
get the CIA, and the special forces and the Navy SEALs to banging heads. They'll stop it.
Yes, they would.
You know, John F. Kennedy said the most dangerous thing on the face of the planet was a Navy frogman standing butt-naked on a beach with a knife. So that was the most dangerous thing on planet Earth. And we can do all these things in war, and we have an enemy out there, and I think we need to be at war with it. And we're dealing with it like it's all business as usual. This isn't business as usual. We're in a war for survival of the coastal environment of the Gulf of Mexico.
Yep.
Amen.
Absolutely.
And maybe up the East Coast.
Yes.
Maybe by summer, with that loop current going up the East Coast, it could be in Carolina. It can be anywhere it wants to. This thing needs to be stopped, and I believe it can be stopped. Now, I don't certainly have any education. My God, I'm a barefooted farm boy from the dry country that went to sea, you know. I don't have the expertise, but I guarantee you if we can go to the moon, we can stop that damn well.
The resources are there. The resources are there. They just, like you said, they need to just say, "Hey, BP, back off, and we'll take care of it."
It's their responsibility, isn't it?
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, it's the responsibility of the Department of Interior.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It's directly the responsibility of the Department of the Interior.
All right. Good.
And I don't know. I don't know what we got a bunch of. The Limeys screwed this thing up 200 years ago. Now they're really doing it again.
Yep. I know. And, you know, we talked about the effect of 9/11, what it had on the economy and so forth. That's minuscule compared to this.
That ain't nothing.
No.
It's not nothing. But the whole thing is how it's going to affect the environment in the future and the quality of life of people in the region in the future.
Yep.
And I'm not talking about the next year or the next 10 years. It'll be 50 years before they know how much damage they've done.
Nope. You're right. Absolutely.
It'll be 50 years.
Yep.
You know, they're denying it. All these clouds of oil or concentrations of oil are in mid-level depths. Why not? Why not? They tried to tell us it was pumping 5,000 gallons a day, you know. Now the same people are telling us, oh, no, these 40-mile, 1,200-foot deep, 3-mile-long oil pools don't exist. Well, these are the same people that said that it was 5,000 barrels a day.
Yeah, yeah.
Or gallons a day. So, no, they got no credibility. They ain't got the credibility of a snail.
Well, they don't, and it's like we said earlier, they let us arrive from the very beginning, and the moment that thing blew up, it just started.
You know something I heard? You want to start something? I'll start something with you.
Okay, we got 3 minutes, so start it.
I got a oilfield customer who's a big shot oilfield. It has been a long time, and he says, some way or another, the government and Halliburton ain't getting along. And they said that nobody on this planet is more qualified to stop that than Halliburton. And in all this stuff where they're checking with so-and-so and asking so-and-so for his advice, nobody's asked Halliburton nothing. And I find that real interesting.
Yeah.
And I don't work for Halliburton.
Well, and, you know, Cheney was involved with those, so our previous vice president.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, I can't recall what his affiliation, but he was elbow to elbow with them. I mean, that's fact.
Yeah, but there was some kind of little stink or something, and apparently they're just not number one on the list. But I tell you what, you know, I was told practice principles, not personalities. And we need to get somebody in there to do the job. You know, we need to, if you need a war one, go. Don't send a bunch of high school, zit-faced high school kids to win a war. Hire a bunch of mercenaries and let them go win it.
Yep.
You know? And this is the same thing. We need somebody to stop this thing. So.
Yesterday.
No. 39 days ago.
39, yeah, absolutely.
39 days ago, and then we would have been scared to death by the 2 days it did run, and maybe it would have done some good for the bad it did.
Yeah, because this is...
Well, all right, brother.
We have no idea what's upstream for this one. Captain Bill,
I don't think they will. Like I say, I'm fixing to be 63. I don't think in my lifetime they will ever know the end result of this oil spill.
Well, I don't know how to tell you this, Captain, but we appreciate it so much for you being on tonight. Give us some insight on this. I learned a lot in this last hour with your discussions, and man, I hate to say it, but you might be right amongst it, and we want to have you back on again. We love you, brother. You're great.
All right, y'all feed them horseshoe crabs so they can have lots of eggs for these red knots.
Well, we're going to keep up. Dr. Day is going to keep up to date with that.
All right, then.
Thanks a lot, Captain.
We'll be talking to you.
You betcha, sir. You betcha real soon.
All right.
Next week on the program, we're going to have Peter Weimer. He's got a We Want You Cottage up in western New York. We're going to find out what's going on in Chautauqua Lake. Big musky place, you know, they catch the musky up there, and the tour season has started, so we're going to find out a little bit on the inside of the native fauna and find out how he's doing up there, of course, with the economy and whether people are going on vacations like they used to. We'll see. But that's next week. Big thank you to Henry Maid out of Mississippi for his technical expertise, and of course, Dr.
No problem.
We appreciate it, Henry, and of course, Dr. Henry Day for his Wild World News and his expertise in helping me out every time I got knocked off the air. I don't know what was going on. But we'll see you next week, everybody. This is Larry Batson, and you've been listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. Good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening this week to Larry Batson's Wild World. Be sure to join us again next week at 10 p.m. for more of the latest outdoor and wildlife news and information, along with great tales from your host, world-renowned wildlife expert, Mr. Larry Batson. Tune in again next week for another exciting edition of Larry Batson's Wild World. Batson's Wild World is a Batson Wildlife Educational Services production in association with Blog Talk Radio.